finding joy along the journey. I was thinking about this, and you know, sometimes it's in a casual way. Sometimes it's watching someone. I was thinking about in a casual way. A few years after my accident, we were quite burdened with the stress and the workload and the therapy, and so my wife said we need to do something casual. So we came up with this idea that we would go down to Hamilton. Along the lake, there is a paved trail there, and when the children were little, we would put their bikes in the van, and Carol had a pair of rollerblades, and we all had wheels, and we would go along the lake. As the children got older, they also got rollerblades, and they were all rollerblading, and of course I couldn't keep up all the time. My chair goes about 6 miles an hour, so they would race ahead, and then they would come back, and we just had a good time. The children kept getting older, and then our two girls had boyfriends, and we told them if they want to be part of her family, they need to purchase rollerblades. So we would again go to the lake and go rollerblading and take the barbecue and have a fun evening, and sometimes we stopped at the Dairy Queen on the way home for ice cream, and it was a time of fellowship and joy. But I think we need to daily look for joy, no matter what we face. Yesterday at lunch, or after lunch, then Wesley's youth group, they were singing for us, and I love watching youth sing. It's something about youth singing and praising God. Anyways, Carol and I were sitting across from three blind brothers, and I don't think they're here this morning. I think their sisters are here, but we were watching them, and you could tell they were really enjoying it, especially the song, "We Will Have a New Body." Yesterday afternoon, I talked to one of them. I wish I'd remember his name, but it was the one that's 32 years old, and I mentioned to him that something in the line of, what did you think of the song, "I Will Have a New Body"? And he just got this smile, and he said, "I can hardly comprehend it." To me, it was an inspiration, and it gave me a sense of joy. So I have two theme verses this morning. The first one is from 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." If this is actually the will of God for us to be in these circumstances, He must love us to put us in this place. Should we not try and accept it if this is actually His will? I heard a speaker one time that paralleled life to a river. And you know how a river is. It can be very smooth, or it can have ripples, it can have rapids. And when I think of Niagara Falls with its drop, and you drop over the falls and the swirling waters, and as you leave these swirling waters, it might come smooth again. And this is how He compared life. We might get out into this river in our boat, and we think life is good. smooth, calm water, sun is shining, sleeves roll up, maybe fishing. But as you go down this river, it's not going to stay that way. There will be rapids, and maybe there will be falls. Another verse is from Joshua, and Jeff alluded to this morning. He talked about Moses. He didn't get to the end of Moses' life, but Moses was not allowed to cross the Jordan because of striking that rock. And so at the end of Deuteronomy, it says Moses died. And then God came to Joshua, chapter 1, and he told him, it is now time to cross the Jordan. I want you to lead my people. And he told him, be strong and courageous. And Jeff also alluded to that. He said, be strong. Put your feet in the water. And then he came to Joshua again, and he said, be strong and be very courageous. And he came to him the third time, and he had a question. And I had to wonder, did Joshua question his leadership role? Did he question God and say, you know what, this is not for me? But God came to him and he said in Joshua 1, verse 9, he asked him this question, have not I commanded thee? And again he said, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Isn't that a wonderful promise that he will be with us? Another verse in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. This is David speaking to his son Solomon. Again, he said, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. I think this is a wonderful verse for any father to his son, but I often think of this verse, be strong. It's something we need to constantly work at. So a little introduction, I guess, for those, there's quite a few that weren't here on Friday night. I'm here with my wife, Carol, and our three children. We have two girls and one son. The oldest one is married to Trent Martin. And the second one is Dana, is dating Darcy Martin. They are anticipating marriage here in June, Lord willing. And our youngest son, Todd, is with us. They will be joining me at the end of my sharing to sing a few songs. So what I'm sharing is some of the thoughts are from when the children were little, and there's something about what children can do to encourage you with their innocent comments. So you can all see that I'm paralyzed, quadriplegic, which means four limbs affected. I am a C6, which is an injury in the neck. And the way it affects me is obviously I can't walk. My hands are partially paralyzed. My hands are fully paralyzed. My arms are partially. The bicep muscle works, and the tricep muscle is paralyzed. Bicep is what pulls your arm up. Tricep is what pushes your arm down. Now down is... It doesn't show up because that's gravity. But triceps is what you need to, if I wanted to transfer from my chair to bed, you need triceps to lift yourself. So I depend on my wife to get me out of my chair and into bed. And once I'm lying in bed, if I need to roll over, she needs to do this for me or sit up. So I share our story this morning. I want you each to think of your own lives. Where do you need to practice acceptance and submission? How can you find joy in your calling? Or maybe where can you be the hands and feet of Jesus to those around you? May this story be a blessing to you. I'm not sharing for pity. I just pray that it would be an inspiration to you. At the time of my accident, Carol and I were married. We were in our 10th year of marriage. We had built a new tie stall barn in 2006, and we were living our dream. We were farming together. We had three healthy little children. And because we were at 10 years of marriage, we thought we should do something. And we had friends in the mission field in Haiti, and we had never been to Haiti before. And we also decided to stop in Florida. There was a layover there anyways, so we stopped in Florida. We had both never been in Florida. Anyways, when we were in Haiti, we went up the mountain to visit the friends up on the top of the mountain there at that mission. That evening we were coming down the mountain. We were standing in the back of this pickup truck with racks around it and probably about this high. And we were looking out over the ocean. The sun was setting. It was a beautiful sunset. And Carol just looked at me and with this look of life is perfect. On the way home then, we stopped at Florida and we enjoyed, this was in January, it was cold and storming at home, and we enjoyed the beauty of the ocean. We walked along there and it was warm and we felt very blessed. Up until now, we hardly knew what hardship was. Little did we realize the falls that loomed ahead of us on our river. We came home from our trip on a Sunday, and 5 days later, on February the 1st, 2008, was the day our lives changed forever. The morning started out like normal. The alarm awoke us with its normal, annoying ring, thoughts of, do I have to get up already? Surely could sleep a little longer. It never dawned on us this would be the last time I would be able to hop out of bed and dress myself. The last time I would be able to put on my shoes. The last time I would walk to the barn and milk our cows. The last time I would walk to the end of the lane with our daughter to wait up for the school van. Never again to go on a evening walk with my wife. The list goes on. After breakfast, Carol went to do some errands in town. And I planned to clean out the heifer pens. I think it was around 10 o'clock in the morning. I was up in the barn, an old bank barn. I was up in the barn moving some bales. I had three big square bales on top of each other. When the tractor tire, it broke through the den floor. This caused the top bale to topple over the rack, and because I was looking at the tire in the floor, I never saw the bale come. So I had no chance to duck or try to avoid it. So this bale hit me on the top of the head and it glanced off the side. And almost immediately, I could feel that started down at my feet and my strength just slowly came up through my body. I could feel that my feeling is leaving me. And it came up to my neck, and before I quite lost my arm movement, I put the the shuttle in neutral. For some reason, I'm not sure why, but I turned the four-way flashers on thinking maybe somebody would see me. And then when I was sitting there, it was a funny feeling. It was just like, I have no body. I'm just sitting there and my head's in midair, just bobbing. I knew I was seriously hurt. So I'm guessing I was conscious for probably the first hour, and then after that I went in and out of consciousness, and I'm sitting there and waiting, and what else do you do but pray, right? It's like, maybe the milk truck driver will see me. Maybe a salesman will drive in today and find me. No salesman came. The milk truck came and went and never noticed me. And then eventually Carol came home around noon, and I didn't show up for lunch. I'm a fairly time-conscious person, so when I didn't show up at 12 o'clock, she started wondering, and she gave me a bit of time, but eventually it was like, I need to go find him. And she found me up in the barn. So at this point, she called 911, and soon there was lots of help there. From here, I went on to the hospital, and from here, I remember very little of this. Have you ever questioned whether God knows what our life holds? I believe he has our lives mapped out. The Bible says he knows the number of hairs on our head. When we were on our trip to Haiti, Stuart Weber and his wife did our chores. The night before my accident, he stopped in and for his paycheck, and we chatted a while, just like friends do, and he shared with me that he would like a full-time job as a herdsman on a dairy farm. He grew up in town, and so he didn't have the help from his dad to buy a farm, and so he wanted to be a herdsman. And I went to bed that night, and I was lying there thinking, who would have a job for Stuart? Little did I realize that the very next day, it would be me giving him a job. The other interesting thing was, before Carol went to town that morning, for some reason, the Lord compelled her to read all five verses of a song. And this would have been a pretty new song at this time. Would we truly long for heaven if this life was perfect here? If we had no pain or heartache, if we never shed a tear, if we had no disappointments, and our dreams would all come true, could we keep that heavenly vision and that deep eternal view? The last verse I couldn't help but share. Yes, dear Savior, we are longing to be safe on heaven's shore, and these trials only make us long for heaven more and more. And we see that you are using each trial of each day as a tug from heaven's anchor, just to pull us heaven's way. Later in the day, Kelsey came home from school, and Grandma was there to meet her and tell her what happened. It was a Friday, and I think they had done art at school that day, and after Grandma told her, she pulled this art out of her bag, and it said, God careth for you. I was very touched when I heard this. It reminded me to have faith as a little child. It was things like this that made us feel like maybe we are in God's will. Maybe this is for us. Early the next morning, I think it was around 4 o'clock, they had a surgery to fuse my C6 and C7 vertebrae. The next 3 weeks I spent in the Hamilton General Hospital. This time I had basically no use of my arms. we don't realize how thankful we should be for arms. I remember I would be lying in bed, and you know, Carol went home around, I think she usually went home around 9 o'clock, and it just seemed it was Murphy's Law. After she would leave, my nose would be itchy, and it was like, just wish I had arms. A few weeks after my accident, I was then moved to a rehab center, also in Hamilton. This was a place for people with spinal cord injuries. I was here for 4.5 months. It was a time of trying to regain as much movement as possible. During this time, I had a severe case of pneumonia, something that seems to be prevalent with lying around. I had a bed sore. I had bad fever with that. And I remember my mom telling me afterwards that she was scared they would lose me from that. During this time at rehab, we spent a lot of time doing therapy, and all this was trying to regain as much as we could. Eventually, my arms did slowly come back, and I learned to feed myself. And it was here that I had my first real bath since my accident. It was quite a procedure. At this time, and those of you that have gone through an accident and paralyzed will understand this, but when you have a paralysis, then you have to learn to sit again. So every day they would set me up a little bit more and a little bit more, because if they set you up too fast and too long, you would faint. So at this point, I still couldn't sit up, and it was time for a real bath. So what they did was they had this stainless steel trough, is what it was, with just low sides on it, all sloped to the middle with a drain. And it was big enough to lay somebody in. So two nurses, they lifted me into this trough, and they wheeled me into this big shower room. It was with mixed feelings. It felt good to have a bath, not just a little bed bath. But I remember tears went down the drain with the water. I'm sure there's people here that know exactly what I was feeling. You have experienced what it feels like to drop over the falls. At this point, I felt useless. Here I was needing two nurses to give me a bath. Over 30 years old. What was the point of living? I remember thinking of Jesus as he hung on the cross. He let himself be beaten. He was despised. He was alone. He was forsaken. The Bible says they parted his garments by lot. And you as children, you know in picture books how Jesus, he hung on the cross, and he was half naked. At that time, I felt it was a little similar. No dignity left. Like Jesus, I felt like crying out, "Lord, Lord, why hast thou forsaken me?" Does God understand our pain? I think he does. His very son, Jesus, suffered as well. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed. This is Luke 22:42. Father, this is Jesus praying to God. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. May that be our prayer too in our circumstances. When I was thinking about sharing here, I had to wonder how many people are here that are fresh in their journey. For us, it's been 16 years. And time heals, but I remember thinking back and it takes time to heal. If there's anyone here that is 3 to 5 years, you're still very fresh. So what are you struggling with? There's quite a few teenagers and children here. And I have to And I have to wonder what your life holds as teenagers. I just encourage you, hang in there. Give yourself time. God will be with you. Like he said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Joshua, he fought a lot of battles, literal battles, overtaking cities. And that is what God wants us to do with our battles today. Not fighting people, but fighting discouragement and loneliness. We need to be strong. We don't always understand why we are here, but we need to trust that God has a reason. Carol was drawn to the first two verses in Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. A saying I found goes like this. The solution to suffering and the doubts it raises is not found in argument. It is found in learning to rest in God's grace and to trust in his power, even when the suffering is mysterious and overwhelming. Sometimes our suffering is mysterious. Why, Lord? While I was in the hospital, Carol and the children lived with my parents. And towards the end of my stay at rehab, I went to my parents as well for the weekend. All part of trying to, it was therapy, trying to deal with the outside world. And I remember we were driving in this dead-end road is where my parents lived. And my children would usually be outside waiting for our arrival. Dana was 3 at the time. And you know how little girls, they love to stand in one spot and just jump up and down. Almost like springs in their legs and their hair bouncing. And it was another joy of seeing my children welcoming me. 5 months after my accident, I came home from the hospital. Still very weak, but glad to be home. Home seemed so different from when I had left. Many helpful people, family, and neighbors had added an addition to our house and a major renovation to make it wheelchair friendly. For the next year, we went to Hamilton Rehab Center twice a week for therapy. My mom also came twice a week and spent a few hours doing stretches and therapy with me, all this trying to regain more function. The following year, I had 4 hand surgeries. Originally, I was planning to have both my hands finished at the end of the year, but because of some complications, it took 4 surgeries for my right hand alone. And these were surgeries to try and get some movement out of my fingers and my thumbs. I do have a little bit of movement in my right thumb, so it was not all in vain. Carol did a lot of therapy through this time, and those of you that know her a little bit maybe have caught on that she is a very thorough person. She always said we need to try our best, or else we might look back and say we should have done better. Maybe we could have got more. Reminds me of a speaker I heard one time. He said, behind every successful man is an exhausted woman. I know she wouldn't want me to sit up here and lift her up, but I don't think there's many wives that their husbands pray so much for them. I depend on her for getting up in the morning and a lot of things in life. So my prayer is that she stays strong and healthy. A couple Bible verses Carol was drawn to from Psalm 71. Verses 1 to 3. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Some days all this therapy seemed like wasted time. It seemed like little was being gained. Some days we were close to being confused and overwhelmed. But we praise God that His grace was always sufficient. In August, 2.5 years after my accident, I got my driver's license again. My original plan had been to finish the hand surgeries before I drive, but because of complications and all the healing time needed, my patience was running out. It was all taking much longer than I had planned, and I wanted to drive. Up until now, I had still been in a manual chair the majority of the time. And so I went to get I needed an assessment done by a therapist to know what controls I need to safely drive. And so we went to London to see this therapist, and she watched me try to get from my manual chair into the driver's seat. And she looked at me and she said, "Doug, you should be in a power chair. Just think about it. When you and your family go to town or anywhere, you're going to end up just staying in the van because it's too much work to get in and out." And this was a tough decision for me because most people I knew were in manual chairs, and I knew I should have the exercise. But when we thought about it, what she said, we decided to switch to a power chair, and I'm so thankful for her advice because it gives me so much more independence. So now I had my license. What was the next step? I needed to do something in life. Would anybody even consider giving me a job? I had lost my dignity, my self-confidence. I didn't really feel like I was worth much to anybody, other than I did know my wife and children loved me. I've had this joke with them that I'm only here to be their teddy bear, someone to love and pet. Well, today I've been employed for 14 years in the office at Wellington Fertilizer, and what I do there is answer the phone, some sales, buying a product, some accounting. I can honestly say I enjoy it. It is quite a bit of variety for an office job. I give my boss a lot of credit for the patience it took to train me, to set up my office, and the responsibility he has given me. It has been a huge boost for my self-esteem. As a man, it just feels good to be supplying for my family again. I say, praise the Lord. I think this thought of wanting to be accepted or needing a mission in life is something we can all relate to. There's a lot of us here with disabilities, and I'm sure you sometimes feel like other people have more and I think we need to realize that we are all different and we don't have the same talents. We do all have talents. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So if we are actually in His will, then we need to try and accept what God allows in our lives. And depending what the disability is, we can take it as a challenge and look for ways to excel and exceed. It makes me think of a motivational speaker I listened to named Alvin Laws. And I had to wonder, Daniel, I'm not sure where you are. Oh, there you are. Have you ever heard of Alvin Laws? Sorry, Derek. No, okay. He is a man. He was born without arms. He's a motivational speaker. Anyways, he was born without arms, and his biological mother decided to adopt him, put him up for adoption. And the Laws, that was their last name, adopted him. And what I know about him is soon after I started at Wellington Fertilizer, I was at an agronomy meeting, and this Alvin was there as a motivational speaker. And I don't know if I was struggling at that time, but he really inspired me. He was up on stage there, and he told us a little bit about his life, how the laws took him in, and she decided that Alvin needs to be as independent as possible. So you can imagine with no arms, it's hard to balance. So she would put him in this cardboard box and so that he would not fall over, and he learned to balance. And she made him feed himself with a bottle. And as he grew older, he needed to dry dishes with his feet. You can imagine how a challenge this was. I was really encouraged at lunch the other day. I was watching Kirkland, and I saw he had a fork in his hand and didn't actually see him eat. I was waiting, but it didn't happen. And I had to think of you and Alvin, the similarities. But Alvin was, he was ridiculed a lot through his grade school years and through high school. But his mother really was an asset in his life because she encouraged him to be strong, to be as independent as you can. And I think that's a challenge to all of us here, with especially youth with children. Help them to be independent. But Alvin also had a teacher that encouraged him in music. So he learned how to play the piano with his toes. And he did this up on stage for us. He sat on a bar stool and he leaned back, put his feet up, and played the piano. And then he grabbed some sticks and he played the drums. He combed his hair. Very flexible. After teenage years, he went on to be a radio DJ. So he learned to be good with his mouth. And then at some point, he decided to be a motivational speaker. And today, he travels the world speaking to people. He goes on his own. He will fly to another country. And he can go into the car rental office, and they know him. He's on their records that he can drive a car. So they will give him the keys to a car, and he will go out, hop in the car, one foot on the steering wheel, the other on the gas and the brake, and away he goes. He gave us a story that he likes to do. He said he likes to go through a drive-thru. So he goes through a McDonald's, a drive-thru, and he pulls up to the window, and he hands the cash out with his foot, and then they come with a bag, and he takes the bag with his foot, and he said he gets quite the responses. But what I like about Alvin Laws is he had what he called, I think it was the five laws in life after his last name. But the one I want to share today is value. Be with a value. For value. It is important to value your life. Too many people live another V, that of victim. It is true bad things happen to good people and therefore victims. The trouble is there is no answer to the question, why me? Even worse, victims often get stuck in the past, when what they need to do is live for today and move toward the future. When you focus on moving forward, you never know what you might discover. Everyone has value. The challenge is to find it. In those early years, I would sometimes get discouraged when I thought about the things I couldn't do with my children, like playing hockey, biking, showing my son how to fix something. Now that the children are getting older, I still sometimes struggle. I would love to help my son-in-laws renovate their houses, preparing for my daughters. I would love to help Carol with the yard work, and the list goes on. It can be discouraging to sit and watch others do the work. But I have found they don't expect me to do these things. They just want me there. I remember one night I was putting my 2-year-old son, Todd, to bed. In his prayers, he out of the blue, he said, "I don't care that Daddy had an accident. I'm just so glad he didn't die." It's things like this that bring encouragement and put joy in your heart. Sometimes I find it helpful to compare myself to someone I think is less fortunate. I have this picture on my desk of a teenager. I think his name is Faya. I've had it there for quite a while, but he is sitting in his wheelchair in a little hut over in, I think it's Africa. And sometimes I look at this and I just think, wow, we're blessed. And I give this an encouragement to you teenagers that when you think your life is rough, imagine if you had to live in a country where there was no pavement and just huts and we are very blessed in this country. I think we need to be careful when we compare ourselves to someone else. The Bible is very clear that we are not to covet what another man has. But I think if it is done properly, it can actually be beneficial to make one feel blessed and thankful. If we can accept our lot, most times everyone around us will be happier. I think if we are willing to take only one day at a time and let God do with our lives as He wills, it will be easier to have joy. There was something that was done by a teenager that it just brought tears to Carol and I's. We were in town one evening. I think we went for groceries, and then we needed to fill up our jerry can to fill up the lawnmower and the tiller. And we were at the gas station, and she filled up the can, and she put it in the back of the van, and then she went in to pay, and the cashier said, "It's paid." She was like, "Well, who paid it?" And the cashier said, "Young man was in ahead of you and paid it." And she went out the door and she kind of looked around and she saw this young teenager leaving. And to this day, she didn't know who it was. But it was obviously someone that knew our situation and cared. It's not always, and again, I say this to people like teenagers, it's not that you don't need to do big things. I look around, I watch yous here on a weekend like this, and I see yous doing things for your siblings or your parents, or it's so encouraging to me. This is being the hands and feet of Jesus. Time is moving on. I might need to skip a little bit here, but so this weekend, it's supposed to be an encouragement for those with disabilities, but I think it's also an encouragement to those of us that support us, caregivers. And I see mothers and wives and fathers and husbands all doing their part to make it better for us with disabilities. I know that your work is not always pretty or easy. Your river is not always smooth. You have extra responsibilities others don't understand. Sometimes you may be weary. You may be exhausted with it all. You maybe feel like you hardly get any thanks. And for me, you know, I'm an adult and I can thank my wife daily for what she does for me. But I think of yous that do things for maybe children or whatever, that maybe you feel like you don't get any thanks for it. I encourage you to keep on. We all need you. Just hang in there. Be strong and courageous. God knows what you do. He sees. I believe if you can do it with love, you are one of His angels here on earth, and you will be rewarded someday. Makes me think again of 1 Thessalonians 5. The first few words it says, "In everything give thanks, And I don't think God is necessarily asking us to be thankful for our difficulties, but he wants us to be thankful for the little things. Just a thankful heart daily to try and be thankful and find things to be joyful. If we can find joy, I think if we are thankful, joy will automatically follow. Helping others reminds me of a story. And this is an old story that has been, it's been repeated over pulpits, and but I just always like it. I think it's a fish wrapper story, but it says it took place at a, it was a race for children with disabilities. And I'd like to think of our weekend here. There's quite a few children here with disabilities, and just picture if the children are all lined up for this race. I picture some in wheelchairs, maybe their brother or sister standing behind, ready to push to make them go faster. I picture blind children, someone leading them. Maybe someone mentally handicapped. Anyways, the whistle is blown and everybody starts running. Partway down the track, the one child falls and he starts crying. The others up ahead, they hear this, someone is crying, and they all kind of stop and they look back and they have a heart of love. What happens? They all turn around and they go help this child up. They all link arms and they cross the finish line together. It says the spectators, they stood up and they cheered for a long time. I like this little story. It is an example of what really matters in life. It is helping others to win the race. So when I think about this story, this thought of sharing. Now, I shared things like Alvin and the blind, being excited about having a new body. There's a lot of people I should mention. I'm so thankful for everyone, especially my family. They've been a great encouragement to me and are so willing to be my hands whenever needed. They are helping me to the finish line, and the finish line being heaven. Reminds me of what Todd said when he was still very young. He asked his mom, "Do you want to go to heaven?" She replied, "Of course I want to go to heaven." He replied, "I want to go to heaven too. I want to see Daddy walk again." Isn't it amazing what little children can do to be an encouragement? We're all needed, young and old. The last two chapters of Revelation talks of the glory of heaven, how there will be no more tears, no more heartaches, no more pain. I doubt there'll be any wheelchairs, no more blindness. I also know that through this whole experience, we learn more about God's grace than we could have otherwise. God really is good, and we still have so many blessings. Of course, there are still times of giving up, but we feel we have found a new normal. By the grace of God, we have been able to accept our lot in life and be submissive to the challenges that come with it. In our river of life, it feels like the sun still shines. So I want to encourage us all to keep the faith. Keep God at the helm of your boat, so that by the grace of God, you can be carried through the rapids of life. And I repeat again, be strong and courageous. I'd like to close with a Bible verse from Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him.